One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're pretty humbled and amazed.
Oh, I was going to say rich.
Yeah, but we have to say that we're humbled and then just like count our money in private.
Speak humble, act rich.
And carry a big stick.
Yeah.
Made of money.
This is my money stick. If I hit something with it, I have to buy it.
That's how I pay for sandwiches at the bodega. I just like walk to the bodega with my money stick and I just peel off a portion of it and hand it to the cashier.
I imagine like the like top of it is like one of those percussion instruments that has like all the tiny little symbols on it. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
And like when you
a jingle ring?
Yeah, a jingle ring thing. Yeah, and it's a stick that's made out of money with a jingle ring on top.
And so every step I take is like ping.
Yeah. So you know he's coming.
So why are we rich?
We're rich because we have great listeners who support us.
Our loyal vegetarians.
Thank you, loyal vegetarians. We launched our Patreon about a week and a... Well, it'll be about 2 weeks when this episode comes out.
Something like that.
Yeah.
However time works.
Yeah. And we already met our first, like, two goal. No, one.
Well, one goal was just, goal. Like, $2 to say, like, we did... A
we
little
did a
bit.
Patreon. Yeah.
And the second goal was very much realistic, which was to cover our hosting and website fees. And we've got them covered.
Yeah.
Plus a little extra now.
Yes. Plus a little extra, which we will begin saving towards our next goal, which is to actually get out there and advertise the show on podcasts or podcast networks that we really admire and that we think our listeners would have like a nice crossover. And we didn't put this on the Patreon, but it's on there now. So that means it's official. If we get to our next goal, which is $300 a month in Patreon donors, we'll do a drawing every month for one of our patrons to get a Utahn.
Woohoo! A Utahn is a personalized song, a crouton for you.
And if you donate $5 per month or above, which is just $1.25 an episode, you'll have access to our bonus content and blooper reel. And let me tell you, we were just brainstorming some ideas.
We have some good ideas.
We have some good ideas for the donors only bonus content. And then at $10 a month or above, what is it? Oh, it's you get to submit. You get everything below and you get to submit a topic or genre suggestion to the Salad Bowl. And once a month, we will be pulling a random topic or a random genre from the Salad Bowl as part of our episode.
Woohoo!
Woohoo.
Very exciting. Thank you to everyone who's become a patron so far. And if you feel like you can spare a couple dollars a month towards our future in podcasting, that'd be great.
Yeah, $2 a month. It's almost nothing. And it makes and it makes a big difference. It
Give us almost nothing.
It makes a huge difference to us, and we're really honored, you guys.
So what is a song salad?
A song salad is a short song that we write about a random topic from Wikipedia in a random musical style from moodfuse.com.
And we select those topics and genres by spinning the salad spinner, which is a suggestion from you. And this week's salad spinner comes from Claire Dixon at Claire_Dixon on Twitter, who says,
"Great podcast today, guys." No. She says, "How about someone diving off a 10-meter board?"
Cool. Have you ever dove off a 10-meter board?
I seriously doubt it.
I think I have at a like random summer camp kind of thing in Connecticut.
Oh.
When I was little, and pretty sure I like belly flopped and got the wind knocked out of me.
Ooh, rough.
But I didn't drown. Here I am.
We had to take in high school, we had to take swimming classes.
Ugh.
Which is why are you doing this? Like, why are you doing this to people? So yeah, we had to take swimming classes, and we had to, like, you had to learn how to dive off the board, but it wasn't like a high board, you know? You had to, like,
just
learn
like one of
how
those
to just, like,
couple feet over the
yeah,
water.
Exactly. Which is like, can you imagine? Can you imagine being a 15-year-old boy or girl and being forced to be in a swimsuit in front of all of your classmates and, like, jumping off of things into water?
That's so weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's especially weird for me because I was from a very small high school and we didn't have a pool. So, like, there was no swimming involved in my school experience at all.
It was terrible. It was also an open campus high school, so, and it was in Pennsylvania. So you would, like, leave your swim class at, like, 9 in the morning, and then your hair, because they only give you 10 minutes to change, your hair would be wet, and it would literally freeze in between classes, and you have to break the ice off. Like, what a public health nightmare.
Just, like, pneumonia everywhere.
Yeah, like, dumb, wow. Pennsylvania.
Anyway, well,
what are we doing?
We're going to spin the salad spinner to get our genre, and it's someone diving off a 10-meter board. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I can do it.
Okay, cool.
First. All right,
go for
here
it.
We go. <Ba-ga-ging>.
what if divers in the Olympics just screamed every time they jumped? No matter how good you are at the sport, you just are terrified.
Scott Wasserman's coming up. He's going to do triple flip with a half twist. And there he goes. Just like a little bit, though. Like, it's not like they're really scared. It's just like part of the form.
Right. It's like hitting really hard in tennis.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good. Our genre this week is Andean music.
Andean folk.
So, as in like the Andes, the mountains.
Oh, no, I thought it was as an Andrew.
Yeah, it's actually any music ever created by an Andrew throughout history.
So, Mr. Lloyd Webber, we're coming for you.
Oh, God, please no.
I know.
Okay, Andean music is a group of styles of music from the Andes region in South America. Original chants and melodies come from the general area inhabited by
Quechua. You say it.
Quechuas.
Quechuas?
Quechuas. Aymaras and other peoples who lived roughly in the area of the Inca Empire prior to European contact. The early music was then fused with Spanish music elements. It includes folklore music parts of Argentina, Bolivia, Ecuador, Chile, Colombia, Peru, and Venezuela. Andean music is popular to different degrees across Latin America, having its core public in rural areas among indigenous populations. But the Nueva Canción, which means new song, movement of the 1970s revived the genre across Latin America and brought it to places where it was unknown or forgotten.
Cool.
Shannon, how are you familiar with this music?
Because sometimes at 9 a.m. on the subway, people invade your car and they play it.
Yeah. It's either the mariachi band or the like Andean folk pan flute.
People
who usually play like a karaoke track of some kind of like Yanni sounding stuff and then play the pan flute over.
I feel like they're at 34th Street a lot.
34th Street a lot, and also the like official quote unquote Times Square like busking center.
Right. it's like these guys playing along with karaoke tracks, and it's also the like the steel drum guy that plays like Hava Nagila.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what is happening underground here?
Oof.
Yeah. So what are some instruments in Andean music?
Well, we mentioned the most iconic one, which is the pan flute, or the pan pipes, as sometimes they're called.
Which is not a flute made out of pans.
It's a... Nope. It's a... flute made out of different length hollowed out reeds that you blow over the top of like you're blowing a like an empty water bottle or something.
Composite tubes.
Yeah. And the shorter the tube, the higher the pitch.
Yeah.
It is still commonplace for two performers to share a melody while playing the larger style of siku called the toyo. This style of voicing interspersed notes between two musicians. This style of voicing interspersed notes between two musicians is called playing in hocket. And is still in use today in many of the Huaynos traditional songs and contemporary Andean music.
Can we do that?
Yeah. So hakket basically means filling in the space. So like, say that a melody goes ha ha ha, the other melody interspersed would go ha ha ha, and like play on the off beats, so it would sound like ha ha ha.
So it's musical spackle.
Sure. Yep.
Great.
You're basically a PhD student in music history now.
Awesome.
Musical spackle.
So this says that in the modern day, some of these flutes are actually now made out of PVC pipe to make them resistant to heat, cold, and humidity, which makes sense. It's going to be a lot more durable than a reed. There are some vertical flutes, so not these like, you know, composite flutes with all these different tubes. Flute tubes is not
flute
really.
Tubes.
I'm sure that's the official term. Vertical flutes are pinquillos or tarcas, and then quenas are notched end flutes.
Cool.
So we'll just it's gonna be flutes on flutes, guys.
Flutes on flutes.
Yeah.
There is really no mention of other common instruments here, so we'll have to listen to some examples, though I know there are other common instruments.
So the Nueva Canción, which Scott talked about in the intro of this article, is considered neo-folkloric. And if you remember, we also did a neo-folk song. Was that Bird Florida?
That was Bird Florida.
Bird Florida.
Snakealoons.
Snakealoons. Yeah, that was a good one. And that was in the 1960s. And so that would be old songs reinterpreted or new pieces that became considered Andean music. And it would fuse Andean music with psychedelic and progressive rock, which neo-folk also
I wish I lived in the 60s. I really do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They just had such crazy ideas and people were like, I'm on board.
What would your hippie name be if you could be a hippie?
Maybe like Keys.
Keys. Yeah.
Keys Wasserman.
Keys. That's good. I like
what
that.
What would yours be? Pencil.
Pencil?
I was thinking like, well, my like tool for making art is piano.
I was trying to think of like the things that I value the most. Not pencil. I don't know. It would probably end up being something, I don't know, because I like kitties so much. It'd probably be like Shan Cat or something like that.
Pussy?
No. Actually, I don't know. It was the 60s. Maybe that would have gone over.
It would be like, it would be like pussy flower hair or something like that.
It's not like, I don't know. I feel like that's like those horrible appropriative like Indian guides, you know, like Indian princesses and you picked your like Indian name and stuff like that. Ugh, horrible. But that would be my bad Indian name is like pussy flower hair. God, that's so bad. Move on.
All right, let's find an example. Yeah. Let's look up some famous Andean folk songs. And I think we probably shouldn't go too far afield in terms of like Nueva Canción and fusion and all that. I want to find like some more traditional Andean folk sounds.
Okay.
So while we were looking for a example,
we got excited about the flutes and we forgot.
Yeah, Shannon turned to me and was like, does this have lyrics? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So we did a little digging, and we found a offshoot of Andean folk music, or a like sort of subset of Andean folk music called Harawi. I can't say it.
It's really
Harawi.
Hard to say. Harawi.
Harawi.
Harawi, which is Quechuan. So that is an ancient language from the Andes region.
Mostly Peru, Ecuador, and Bolivia.
Yeah.
And it's an moody, ancient, sorrowful, slow, and melodic song or tune. And it's usually sung by women.
And it's indigenous lyric poetry.
Yeah.
So it's a sung poem in the minor pentatonic scale.
Moody.
And there are some pretty specific topics.
Yeah.
There is love, often unrequited, no surprise there. Plight of ordinary peasant, which again, no surprise.
Nope.
And then privations of orphans, etc.
Etc. You know, the huge.
You know, just the privations of orphans and all those things like that.
We also found a specific example that we're going to play a little bit of for you. And it's a song about a woman who gives her daughter away in marriage.
And it is in Quechua, not Spanish.
Right. So this is a female voice and percussion that's kind of like slow and almost like out of time sounding. And what we're going to do is then follow it up with the more traditional Andean pan flute kind of music. And we'll play an example of that too, which has a little bit of like shouting of celebratory words and phrases in the background, but no real sung lyrics there. So we're doing a little bit of a fusion this week.
Yes.
So here is Ichma.
Ichma Harawi.
Harawi. And followed by La Lluvia, which means the rain. Other instruments that we heard in there.
Yeah.
Percussion, guitar, bass, and
yelling.
Lots of like shakery kind of sounding things.
You and, know, like, I love my shakers.
Flutes on flutes on flutes.
Flutes on flutes.
It also sounds like there's some bowed string instrument in there, like almost like a violin kind of a sound, but we'll see how ambitious we get. It's only so many hours in the day. So, yeah, Andean folk music.
Here we go.
Should we get our topic?
Yeah, let's get our topic. And before we do that,
yeah,
we have a review, which we forgot to do at the top of the show.
That's fine. Now's a good time as any.
So let's give a big shout out to our newest review. We also have another 5-star rating, but no review. So thank you to whoever that
was. Thank you, anonymous raider.
And a user called Hasty's Pastries. Gave us a review, hilarious and educational. This person says that they always learn something, and as an audio production major, it's sometimes even useful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Also, so, when I first looked at the review, I definitely thought it said Hasty's Pasties, not pastries, so sorry about that.
Or they could have been from the UK, and pasties are...
Pasties.
Pasties, yeah. So thank you, Hasty's Pastries. We are so glad that you're with us. And thanks for your review. And if you have a review, we'll give you a shout out on the show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's get our topic.
Yeah.
I will now dive off the 10-meter board.
All right.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Bring. Cool.
That was very gross.
That was my face flapping in the wind as I fell from the diving board.
I thought it was all of your blubber just waving in the wind as you fell.
I was picturing those like midair still photos of the Olympic divers where their mouths are just like huge.
Yeah. It looks like someone took like a snow blower and is just like blowing
exactly,
in their face.
Exactly.
All right, spit it.
And our topic is
Bohena se Bohena.
Something like that. It is a Bengali television soap opera that in English means he/she doesn't understand.
Bohena se Bohena se Bohena.
Something like that.
We'll need to look up like scenes or something.
Neither you nor I understands.
Yeah.
It's premiered on November 4th, 2013 and airs on Star Jalsha.
Must be a channel. Yeah. Star Jalsha.
It's a remake of a Hindi soap opera called Is Pyar Ko Kya Naam, Dune? Which aired on a similar network.
And it replaced Star Jalsha's popular show, Topper Topper.
It is a drama primarily focusing on the couple.
Aranya Singha Roy, played by Yash Dasgupta.
And Paki Ghosh Dastidar, played by Madhumita Sarkar. So, Bengali soap opera.
Cool.
Each episode is 22 minutes long.
Oh, wow. That's a short soap opera.
It only ran for 3 years. It ended on June 18th, 2016.
All right. I'm going to read the plot summary.
Okay.
So what did you find out about Bojina?
Bojena Shebojena. I think is what we...
Something like that.
Yeah. So I read the plot summary. And I
of
wish,
like the entire series?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I wish I could say that like it made sense at all. But like it, but like to be fair, it's a soap opera.
Sure.
Which like soap opera
twists and turns.
Yeah. So basically it's this kind of like odd couple story about an orphan. Hey,
on theme.
Privations of orphans. About an orphan girl named Paki who is like more traditional and believes in love and relationships and God. And then she meets Aranya, who is this rich, arrogant, suave business tycoon.
Ooh.
With no belief in love
and
or
nothing
God.
Left to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, it's like this like very beautiful Indian girl in traditional garb, and then this like jacked Indian dude in like Western clothes. So it's clearly this like, you know, odd couple, will they, won't they, like opposites attract kind of narrative.
Sure.
So they fall in love, but they have like all these, it seems like very purely like social hurdles to overcome, which I think, considering like that India still has like a caste system and like people at different levels of society like aren't supposed to like mix.
And is there any stigma associated with her being an orphan?
I don't know. I didn't pick that up. But anyway, like her brother-in-law or something, or the guy's brother-in-law is like also in love with her and like tries to stop them, and he's evil. And then, like, they get married, but then the evil brother-in-law shows up, and then the jacked Indian dude gets shot and falls in a river.
Whoa.
And so he's, like, they say that he's dead, but then Paki doesn't think that he's really dead. And so she keeps believing that he's alive and, like, starts to, like, go off the deep end. And then the family, like, goes and finds, like, his lookalike. Supposedly to like bring back to her so that like she'll not be crazy, so she can at least have someone that looks like
isn't
him.
Isn't like I had a twin all along?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the most cliche soap opera trope?
Yes, exactly. But then it reveals like, and then she's going to like marry the evil brother-in-law, I guess, out of some kind of desperation. But then the guy who was her lookalike reveals that no, just kidding, it's really him the whole time.
Of course.
So then
he kept it a secret for inexplicable reasons.
Yeah, who knows? So then they like get married again or something.
Okay, great.
So I don't know. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I could at least get a sense of the show if I look up some like YouTube clips.
Yeah.
From what I could find, though, there aren't any like actual like just clips of the show. It's all... Uh-huh. Like fan-made compilation videos.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Do you know
sense.
What I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the network could be protective of putting things out on YouTube, or there also might be like a different service that's more popular than YouTube.
Yeah.
For the viewers.
Yeah.
I know that there's a website called Hotstar.com that is sort of like a Hulu for a lot of these Indian and Bengali shows, but we don't have any access to it because we live in the United States.
Yeah, we can't get it.
So.
The thing that I noticed about like almost all the compilations online are like most romantic scenes from blah blah blah, or like like in the rain and in love, Paki and Aranya. Or
if
like,
you have
whatever.
Kids listening, now's a good time to turn it off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but here's the thing: And what I realized pretty quickly is that, like, nothing really happens. And, like, they don't even kiss.
Interesting.
Like, and so then I was like, oh, I remember that there are some, and I think loosening up in recent years, but Bollywood and, like, Indian, like, state, like, television and stuff has a lot of actually, like, pretty stringent, like, decency laws. And so, like, for, I know for a long time, like, you couldn't even show people kissing, like, at all. But, and I guess it's still taboo to show people kissing on TV. Like, I was Googling some stuff about that. But, so you might be asking, what are these, like, romantic compilations
of
scenes?
That was my next question.
Yes, very good question. It appears to be a lot of Pocky almost falling down and Aranya catching her. Like, over and over and over.
Is she narcoleptic?
Again.
Like, why is she falling?
I know. I was, like, literally just thinking about, I was like, if I fell over as much as this girl falls over, Josh would be like, what are you doing? Get your shit together. I cannot keep catching you like this.
I mean, if she's wearing a lot of traditional robes, maybe that's trip worthy, but. That's the only thing I can think of.
But it's like literally, okay, so here's what happens, and I'm not kidding you, probably 70 to 80% of these scenes is she's like turning away quickly or like walking past quickly and then falls, and then he catches her in this like very dramatic fashion, and then they like stare at each other really intensely.
Great.
And she has the most resting concerned face that I've like ever, like she is sad and scared in every single scene, and he is just like moody and brooding.
Yeah, I mean that sounds on brand for soap operas.
Yeah, I mean that's true. Did we talk about the Indian soap opera that we saw in Martinique?
No, we didn't.
Oh
no.
My goodness, this show, and like it, I get the feeling that this show is of a similar like ilk.
Yeah.
In that I don't know what the show was. It didn't make any sense. Granted, the subtitles were like only in French, dubbed over a language that none of us spoke.
But I do remember like a tractor blowing up.
Yeah.
And like a hay fire.
Yeah.
And
people fell a lot too.
People fell a lot.
Fell a lot.
When they saw that someone had been like shot or something, all the women just kind of like fell on the ground.
Yeah. And it was just a lot of like back, long, lingering cuts. Back and forth between people's faces.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, most of the show.
That's the style. It also looked older, though.
It did.
It looked like maybe late 80s, early 90s, so...
Yeah, who knows?
This thing might be a little less intentionally dramatized than that, but
so, I don't
know.
I wish I could have, like, actually seen some, like, live action of this happening, but it was just, like, slow motion clips of this woman falling and getting caught over, like, music that a viewer, a fan, clearly had, like, put over it. So,
sure.
Don't really have a whole lot to talk about that.
Well, speaking of things that we were able to find, I found the main title theme song for Bojena, Shea Bojena.
Yay.
And that's also the name of the theme song. It's very long. It's 4.5 minutes long. But the interesting thing is it starts out with like a melancholy flute and then like a guitar comes in. And then there are vocals singing, you know, some lyrics that I can't find about this couple. But it almost sounds like Andean folk music when it first starts playing.
Are you going to play a little clip of it?
Yeah.
All right.
Here cool. It is. পড়ছি একলা এসে দেখি হচ্ছে আকাশ মেঘলা অবশেষে. So now we need to turn this story of Pocky and Aranya into an Andean folk song starting with a Harawi intro.
How do we get ourselves into this?
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
So many worlds colliding.
It is so many worlds colliding. All right. I'm going to attempt, and maybe it'll be about like being an orphan and then like finally finding love and hoping that love is not unrequited or something.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely fits the Harawi themes.
Yes. And the drama.
I just want to say the reason this is so hard to pronounce is because it's spelled H-A-R-A-W-I. Say that at home. Don't make fun of me.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of the same sounds happening at once, and it's hard. Harawi. Okay.
Let's go. So I'm putting together my Times Square subway band here.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Peruvian pan pipes.
Yep, cool.
I'm going to do like the sort of two different pan flutes playing in harmony with each other for like a main section, and then I'll do some other pan flute doing like a solo melody line, and then a fourth pan flute doing that kind of hocket in between like rhythmic stuff that we talked about.
Sure.
Just like filling in the blanks, like the spackle that we talked about. In addition to all the flutes on flutes on flutes, we have a couple different guitar sounds going on. There's like a high-pitched guitar that's almost like the size of a ukulele that's playing. There's a larger acoustic guitar that's similar to like a Spanish flamenco guitar. And then I said bass when I was listening earlier, but I need to correct myself. They don't actually use bass in this kind of music. They use what's called a guitarrón, which is still held like a guitar. And you may have seen these in mariachi bands. They look like just a big guitar that someone's having a hard time holding. but it actually has like the lower notes like a bass does. So that's the guitarrón. And then Latin percussion and some shakas going on. So that's our band. Should we name our Andean folk band?
I don't know. I feel like it would have to be like a name in Quechua.
Well, if you come across any Quechuan names in the Quechuan poetry that you're researching,
well,
let me know.
So I have come across, so I've been trying to read. So unsurprisingly, there is not a whole lot of Harawi poems out there. It's been really difficult for me to even find one like transcribed and written down, let alone in English.
Okay.
So I've just been reading Quechuan poetry in general. To try to get a feel for it. And let me tell you, like a lot of pumas.
Really?
Yeah, like a lot of pumas. And I also read some Quechuan jokes.
Really?
Yes. Also very heavily puma based.
Oh man.
Yeah. And like the jokes are like the kind of jokes you would expect, and like two of the jokes had the same punchline.
Can you
basically
say one of them?
Yeah. So it's like they have these long setups, which is the joke website said that, like, you know, Quechuan jokes take a long time to set up because like it's like an experience, like, you know, sitting and holding court and telling a story. And so one of them is like, this lawyer was coming up from the big city, and he had to stop at this little mountain town and stopped into the store, and he saw a little boy, and he was like, I want a drink. And the boy was like, I'm not going to give you a drink. We don't have any. Sorry. And he was like, don't you know who I am, you ignorant mountain peasant? I'm a big, important person from the city, and if you have a drink, you have to give it to me. And so the boy was like, okay, here. And like, he's like, we have some punch. He gave him some punch. And then the lawyer drank the punch. He was like, that's good. I want more. And so he gave him more. And then he was like, well, okay, I'm satisfied now. Thank you for the punch. That'll teach you to try to withhold punch from me.
Okay.
And then the little boy was like, oh, it's no problem. My mom said I can give it away for free because a rat drowned in it.
Yeah. That's not a good punchline for the length of the setup.
Yeah, well, I know.
And it's also not puma-based. You lied.
So, well, that one wasn't puma-based.
Well, my mom said I could give you this punch because a puma drowned in it.
Because a puma drowned in it.
It's my a mom's big a bat of punch.
my mom the puma.
My mom the puma said, so I gave you some punch.
No, okay, so the ones that are puma-based are all about pumas chasing people and then the person saying, I don't have to run faster than the puma, I just have to run faster than you.
Oh, so it's that, yeah.
It's
same,
that joke.
Same joke
yeah.
that we all know.
Yeah.
Usually about bears, right?
Something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But lots of pumas. Lots of llamas, lots of condors. So like really like truly evoking the ecosystem of the Andes,
Andes. Yeah.
Which I guess is not surprising for indigenous poetry and people who live off the land and have been there for you know, thousands and thousands of years. So I don't necessarily think that I want to like talk about pumas and llamas, but I think that feeling of like the kind of like epicness of the setting is definitely clear in the poetry. And so a lot of them were also about like the peasants like fighting against oppressive forces.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think like the and there's definitely also a sense of pride in like being Inca.
Incan.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that does that give you some more direction on where to go with the sort of indigenous poetry opening?
Not at all, but
great.
I will but I'll make it work. I will.
Cool. Yeah. I have faith in you.
Misplaced.
Okay. So did inspiration finally strike?
Sure.
The muse of the Andes.
Yeah. So remember how I told you that in this particular soap opera, romance is expressed by falling into a man's arms?
Yes.
So I wanted to take that idea and make it more poetic.
Okay.
And then I also wanted to play off of the idea of one of the themes of Harawi poetry being the privations of orphans. So like basically like the desperate position the orphans are in. Hmm. And so I just wrote this like very short little like lyrical beginning.
Okay.
Here
and
we go.
And this is what's going to be over just the percussion sort of like sung chanted.
Yes.
By you.
Yes, exactly. And see if you can figure out where I got the puma in.
Okay. Okay. I feel like it's not going to be that hard.
Yeah, maybe? Probably not.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I grew up with nothing, no one to make a home, but I fell into your life. And like the puma catches its prey, like the water catches the leaves, like the wind catches your voice and carries it through the empty space, you caught me.
If I didn't know what it was referencing, it would be beautiful.
Thank you. thank you. That's like that. I'm going to put that on my business card. If you didn't know what it's referencing, it would be beautiful. The words of Shannon Deep.
Yep. That's great.
So I wanted to keep the same like feeling of like epic locale. So like the lake and the water, the water and the wind and the empty space and like that whole deal.
Yeah.
So maybe not as Bengali as the topic would maybe lead us to do, but
Andean.
Yeah, definitely Andean.
Incan, Harawi.
Yes, and it's certainly inspired by how clumsy the main character of this show is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got the puma.
I worked that puma in there.
You did.
I did.
So that's going to be the first part of the song.
Yeah.
And the second part of the song is just an instrumental pan pipe extravaganza with some shouts.
With some shouts.
So what do you think the title should be?
So the titles of Quechuan poems tend to be like either the first line of the poem or they tend to be like one word kind of epic or like titles that encapsulate everything. So
puma.
What if it's just like the puma?
Like the puma. I like it.
All right.
All right. Here is.
Like the puma.
An Andean folk song.
Against all odds.
By Shannon and Scott.
I grew up with nothing. No one to make a home. But I fell into your life. And like the puma catches its prey. Like the water catches the leaves. Like the wind catches your voice. And it carries through the empty space. You caught me.
Hey. Ah. Oh.
All right, let's be clear about a couple of things.
What do you want to clarify? I don't understand.
I want to clarify that that was in no way Quechuan poetry or like the right Harawi chanting.
Well, I mean, how could it be?
Yeah, it was just, we picked some tones that were in the flute parts.
Yep.
And we sort of like chanted it at the beginning with the poem. Because we dove into this genre before we realized there aren't lyrics to it.
You know what? We made do.
We did make do. We also maybe made some doo-doo.
Maybe made some doo-doo. But that's fine.
Yeah.
We are the first and only people to mash up Bengali soap operas with Andean folk music.
And there's probably a reason for that.
Probably. And if you liked that kind of a mashup and you want some more...
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Go to songsaladpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast and go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/songsalad, and you can become a regular donor today and get some exclusive bonus content coming up.
Yeah, starting in August, we'll be releasing some bonus content on our donors only feed for everyone who gives $5 a month and above. Mm-hmm. Also starting in August, we will be soliciting everyone who donated $10 and above to contribute to our salad bowl, which is like our version of the fish bowl. And every month we will, for one episode that month, we'll draw a random topic or genre from the salad bowl.
Suggested by you.
Suggested by you. And as long as it isn't anything gross or racist, we'll do it.
You mean like we just did?
Yeah, like yeah.
It's fine.
We back ourselves into a bad corner sometimes. Mm-hmm. We do it out of, we're learning. We're trying to figure out how to put all these things together and make them make meaning, and they don't really.
For the 72nd time.
Yeah. In the next couple weeks, we're going to have some pretty cool guest artists.
Yeah. And guest stars. Next week, we have Joel B. New, host of Something New podcast and composer of various musical theater shows and songs. He'll be our guest expert, focusing on a genre that he has brought to us.
And then a couple weeks after that, we're going to have Rob Paravonian, who is an awesome viral YouTube sensation.
And comedy music artist.
Yes, and he's great, and he is going to be joining us to sing as well. And if you donate to our Patreon page, or if you give us a review or anything like that, and we don't get to shout you out for the next couple weeks, it's just because we've been recording a bunch of episodes back-to-back because Scott has to travel again.
Boom.
In August, for the first half of August. So we're just kind of building up some episodes, but we will get around to thanking you publicly. I absolutely promise. It means a lot to us.
Thanks again to Claire Dixon for this week's Song Salad Salad Spinner.
You did it again! I infected you.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're
contagious.
Ew. But we're not, like, in the good way.
Yeah.
In, like, the viral way.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Infecting your ears. Yeah. With our noises.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Ew, I forgot about that.
Pennsylvania?
Hello, dear listeners. This is Joel B. New, and you're listening to a promo for my podcast, Something New. Nearly 100 episodes strong, my guest list includes photographers, writers, artistic directors, casting directors, literary supervisors, jugglers, fairy godmothers, and so many more. In each episode, we chat a bit and premiere a brand new song from one of my developing projects. What can I say? It's a good time. So if you like original songs and real-life stories of artistic entrepreneurship, I do hope you'll tune in for Something New, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. Okay, bye.